Hello there, shalom. Welcome to Amazing Grace, Extraordinary Truth. I am your host, Lydia, and this is part 3 of the plumb line. How do we measure up? I humbly submit to the word and will of Yahuwah as he broadens our understanding of the things that have been hidden in past times and awakens each of us to the light of his word, his will, his character, his commandments, and our place in his kingdom. Glory to Yah as we go forward in the mighty name of Yeshua. In part 1 of this series, I gave you historical accounts that disprove many of the doctrines we have received as gospel, including the change in the Sabbath day, how Easter was established, how our Hebrewness was diminished, and the feast of Yahuwah were dismissed as unnecessary, specifically Passover in one of the many ecumenical councils. Please continue to listen to this station as it is replayed in the random mix. Now, in part 2 of this series, I gave you several scriptures regarding the attributes and character of Yah, because in order to align with him, we need to understand who he is, and he wants us to ask him. So as you pray, ask him who he is and who you are to him. He will answer us. And here we are now in part 3. In this installment, we will be reviewing the Ten Commandments that Yahuwah gave to the Hebrews through his servant Moses. We find the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, verses 2 through 17, and Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 6 through 21. They also are referred to as the Decalogue by the Greeks, which means 10 words. The word Decalogue means 10 words, and it's also been referred to historically as the 10 sayings or the 10 statements throughout history. Now, in Hebrew, these commandments are known as Aseret HaDibret. Aseret HaDibret. I'd like to share a summary of the 10 statements that was submitted online by Gilman. And they are: number 1, I am the Lord your God. Number 2, do not worship other gods. Number 3, don't take God's name in vain. Number 4, keep the Sabbath holy. Number 5, honor your parents. Number 6, don't murder. Number 7, don't commit adultery. Number 8, don't steal. Number 9, don't commit perjury. Or in other words, do not slander or do not lie. Number 10, don't covet. Now, it should be noted that every major government in the world has laws based on these, many of which do not credit Yahuwah as the author. We unfortunately find ourselves in an age of the untoward generation who has succumbed to the twists and perversions of the enemy, who has either muddied these laws or even abolished them altogether. Since I visited South Africa in particular, I happen to know they passed a law that makes adultery lawful. But just because the world is plummeting fast does not mean these laws do not still stand. In the last installment, we learned that Yahuwah is immutable. He does not change. And we even noted that Yeshua HaMashiach is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His standard of holiness remains. It is unaltered and unchanged. Though the world changes around us, and then the will of Yah, his standards, his holiness, his righteousness, his truth, and even his judgment does not change. We have to change. So that's why these series are so important, because it's time for us to take another look at the word of Yah. It's time for us to take another look, because this word is spiritually discerned, and we have found that many have carnally discerned the word of God, and that's taken us out of our place and has altered our path. But it's time for us to come back through the Spirit of Yah, through the Holy Spirit. Come back through the Holy Spirit and review these things again. Review His commands again. Review His words again. Those things that He has spoken Himself. Those things that He has said is perpetual throughout our generations. Those things that He has commanded and men have tried to diminish or even abolish, as if it had no power. But we know, because we know who God is, we know who Yahuwah is, we know that His word is power, we know that His word stands, we know that His word is the truth, not a truth. His word is the truth. So we go back to the truth, and we review those things again prayerfully, coming into His presence and asking him to remove every toxic dogma from us, every twisting spirit that has come in the midst of us to actually diminish His words even before our very eyes. We watched, even as we review the scripture, as we understand the history of the Hebrews, as we understand our own history, we watched as their minds were twisted by the gods of that age, by the enemy himself. They were serving gods that had no hands, gods that could not save them, gods that could not speak a word to them, that could not give them laws. The laws that they had were copycat laws, many of them copied by Yahuwah and given another name. That's the things that we see in this age, and those are the things that have been repeated from the history way back then. I mentioned to my granddaughter not too long ago that the reason history continues to repeat itself is because the generation prior does not listen to the generation that is trying to impart wisdom to them. So we are doomed to repeat the same mistakes over and over. Repackaged, yes, but the same exact mistakes, and even those same mistakes through the same ancient gods, and the same ancient evil is perpetuating their will in the midst of us. But it's time for us to take back our place. It's time for us to put the adversary in his place, and for us to arise to our places of victory. Yahuwah set boundaries and laws and borders around us to protect us from the will of the adversary, and so that we would have right fellowship with him, so that we would have relationship with him. We were actually invited into relationship with the God of the universe, the God of creation, the God of life, the life giver himself, the one who is in control of all things, the one who is sovereign. We are invited into relationship with him. And we see even through these 10 commandments, they were invited into relationship with him. He reintroduced himself all over again and let them know who he was, and even who they are to him. And that is what our Father is doing even on today. He is reintroducing himself to some and reestablishing and resetting others, so that we'll be in the right place with him, so that we'll be able to enter that highway of holiness that none will be able to even find, except they are strictly adhering to the will and the ways of Yah, and not to the wheels and the ways and the whims of men. This is part 3 of the plumb line. How do we measure up? Amen. And at this time, amen, let's read. Please be patient with me as I read these, because I want you to see some things in the writings of the King James Version and the Sefer that uses the sacred name of Yah. So I'm going to use that his sacred name a lot in this study because I want it to be established. Amen. As we go forth, that is his name. This is his name that we're talking about today. This is his will that we're speaking of. These are his laws, his commandments, his statements, however you put them, whether you call them a commandment, a statement, or a saying, they are the will of Yah, and they wield power. It's not like you and I giving a statement to someone. When Yah gives a statement, it is power. His power is back, is backed by his eminence. His power is backed by his sovereignty. He is the Almighty God. And we do reverence him even as we go through the scriptures. So we're beginning with the King James Version in Exodus chapter 20, verses 2 through 7. I will continue into Deuteronomy chapter 5. And it's verses 6 through 21. And then I'm going to only read the Exodus portion of the Sefer so that you see, amen, the sacred name of Yah. And we're going to talk about that as we go further into this study on today. Amen. God bless you. I hope you're staying with me. I hope you have a pen and paper with you so you can write down some of the scriptures that are going to come forward, and even go back and look at Exodus chapter 20, verses 2 through 7, and Deuteronomy chapter 5. I'm looking again at my note. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 6 through 21. Amen. We are going back to the word of God so that we can retrieve the will of God, because the word has been handled by men that did not know him at all. So we have to go back as his servants that are standing according to his will and living according to his standard of holiness. It is important that we go back and look at it again, because the word has been mishandled by people that were unauthorized to even utter it. It was mishandled. They even in history, there was a time in history that they even wouldn't allow those that they considered commoners or peasants to read the word at all. It was actually banned in the hands of the people, and only those that were considered leaders, those like the Pope and his cardinals, or I'm not sure what they were called at that time, but only they could handle the word. So they were able to interpret it however their wicked hearts wanted to. But it is important for us to understand what the will of the Lord is. It's important that we understand what the will of Yahuwah is. So we have to go back and look at it again prayerfully and asking him again to interpret his will to us. Exodus chapter 20, verses 2 through 7. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. I'm not sure why I don't have to. Let me go. I'm just going to go on, okay? Because for some reason I got cut off there. But let's go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 5, 6 through 21. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is above, that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thy ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commandeth thee to keep the Sabbath day. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God has commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor, neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant, or his maidservant, or his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. Now, this is the commandments that are written in the English versions of the Bible, which can also be attributed to Catholicism and Protestantism. And that is what that commonly used Bibles are based on, either Catholicism or Protestantism. So we need to understand that. So what I have noted in my studies in the first commandment is distinctively different in Hebrew and Jewish writings, and notably in the Sefer. The first commandment is in the form of a powerful statement that is also a command to draw the attention of the reader or as it were, the hearer, which was given the word through Moses. I'll get to that in just a minute. Now, what I'm referring to when I'm saying the distinct differences, we have a lot of postings of the Ten Commandments. We have them posted maybe in our homes or posted on buildings, and most of them are removing the Ten Commandments from buildings. But when they have been posted, they have combined the first and second commandments, or either they left the first one off altogether. So let's look at the Sefer, because I wanted to make sure we read that so you understand the distinction. And I do apologize that I did not give scripture correctly in Exodus. It should have been Exodus. I'm going to say Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17 is what it should have said. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. So please correct that in your notes as well. All right. Now, I'm going to introduce, amen, the sacred name of Yahuwah in here. So as you read, we'll talk about that in just a minute. And Elohim spoke all these words, saying, I am Yahuwah Eloheka. I am Yahuwah Eloheka, which have brought you out of the land of Mizraim, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other Elohim before me. You shall not make unto you any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. You shall not bow yourself to them, nor serve them, for I, Yahuwah Eloheka, am a jealous El, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and guard my commandments. You shall not take the name of Yahuwah Eloheka in vain, for Yahuwah will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahuwah Eloheka. In it you shall not do any work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger that is within the gates. For in 6 days Yahuwah made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore Yahuwah blessed the day of Sabbath and hallowed it. Honor your father and mother, that your days be long upon the land which Yahuwah Eloheka gives you. You shall not kill. You shall not break wedlock. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not lust after your neighbor's house. You shall not lust after your neighbor's woman, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is your neighbor's. I have read from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17 from the Sefer. As you have heard, the first commandment is, I am Yahuwah Eloheku. Ka is alo, is alo. Eloheka is not the hey, the H is silent. I'm sorry, I keep saying that. It's Eloheka, Yahuwah Eloheka, which brought you out of the land of Mizraim. In most of our postings about the commandments, and I'm just getting back to what I was saying before, the first and second commandments are combined, or leaves the first commandment out altogether and refers to the second as the first, missing the powerful statement of who Yah is. But the purpose of this teaching, I am presenting them as they were originally presented to us. Amen. Let's look at the King James as it reads. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. I am the Lord thy God in ancient Hebrew is I am Yahuwah Eloheka. I am Yahuwah Eloheka, who brought you out of the land of Mizraim, or out of the land of Egypt. The one, basically what Yahuwah Eloheka means is the one who exists as your master. Other translations have interpreted L-O-R-D, Lord, as Yahweh. And it appears to be the difference between the ancient and the modern Hebrew that we see here. Some even argue that Yahweh is the Aramaic form of his name. But the more I have researched, it appears that it is the modern form of his ancient name, Yahuwah. This is the first commandment. I am Yahuwah Eloheka, and I am Yahuwah Eloheka, which brought you out of the land of Mizraim, out of the land of Egypt. The Hebrews had been in Egypt for 400 years. And though I am sure there was a remnant among them who honored Yahuwah, most were assimilated into the culture of the Egyptians and took on their ways. Yahweh always has a plan, and it is always good. It was disobedience that drove them, the Hebrews, into captivity, and now he is establishing them as his people and reintroducing himself as the one who powerfully pushed back the might of Egypt to deliver and establish them as a people. This powerful statement was a statement of declaration that demands honor and reverence. I am Yahuwah Eloheka. This demands honor and reverence, a statement of declaration. And it was also a statement of awakening that we were and are no longer bound by the chains that have held us and did hold them. This is an invitation to know him, to know his character, to know his attributes. They had seen the might of his hand to deliver. Now know him as creator, savior, keeper, and the one in whose image we were made. Psalms 81 and 10 says, I am Yahuwah Elohecha, who brought you from the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. This statement is personal. It's personal. His introduction, I am Yahuwah Elohecha. I am the self-existent one. Your Elohim, God, your Adonai master, yours. It's personal, a personal invitation to be his people in his presence, to humble ourselves before him and remain protected under his covering. This was personal to Yah and personal for us. Deuteronomy 6 and 12 says, watch yourself that you not forget Yahuwah, who brought you from the land of Egypt out of slavery. He was saying, watch yourself lest you forget. I am Yahuwah, your Elohecha, your God, your master, your savior, your keeper, your provider, your source. And it's personal. They were commanded to have these laws ever before them. Amen. They were to wear them as frontlets on their foreheads, to teach them as command, to teach these commandments and all that was written, so they would never forget it, so that they would never forget Mighty Yah, who brought them up and out. Keep his name before you and give him glory for the things he had done now and throughout your generations and throughout their generations. This is so personal to Yah. And it was a personal invitation to be in relationship with the Almighty. But as we know, history reveals that they looked away from Yah and sought to worship gods who had no power to save, which takes us to the next commandments. But before we begin the second commandment, let's look at a few more scriptures. These are from the Modern English Version, the MEV, except the last one. I took that one from the NLT, which is the New Living Translation. But I will still be prefacing Yahuwah Elohecha. Yahuwah Elohecha, I am Yahuwah Elohecha. Jeremiah 14 and 4 says, which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace. That slavery, that bondage is referred to as the iron furnace here. He told them, Jeremiah said, saying, obey my voice and do according to all which I command you, so you shall be my people and I will be your God. Remember, I told you this is personal. This was personal to Yah, and it's personal for us. We have been invited into the holiness, into the righteousness of Yah, of Yahuwah. We were invited, glory to God, to partake in his standard. Oh my God, and we were invited to be protected against the wiles of the adversary. Leviticus 25 and 38, I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan and to be your God. Remember, I am Yahuwah Elohecha, which means the Lord your God in these English versions. These are English versions, of course, that I'm reading. Leviticus 26, 13, it says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their slaves. And I have broken the bars of your yoke and made you walk upright. He gave a personal invitation and made them able to walk upright, because when they were in bondage, when we were in bondage, when we were in slavery to the adversary, we were bent over. We were in a contracted state and we could not lift ourselves up. It took the power of Yahuwah to lift us to an upright state so that we can walk upright and see what uprightness actually is. Glory to God. Leviticus 25 and 45. It says, but for their sake, I will remember the covenant of their fathers, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the nations, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. It means I am Yahuwah. I am Yahuwah. Glory to God. Come on now. Numbers 15 and 41. It says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. I am Yahuwah Eloheka. I am Yahuwah Eloheka. Deuteronomy 4 and 37. Because he loved your ancestors, he chose to bless their descendants, and he personally brought you out of Egypt with a great display of power. This is personal. I am Yahuwah Eloheka, which brought you out of the land of Mizraim, out of the house of bondage. He personally brought the Hebrews out. He personally brings us out. This is personal. This has been part three of the Plumb Line. How do we measure up? Amen. Stay tuned for part four as we continue with the Ten Commandments. Amen.